This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. In 1994, voters in Michigan approved the school finance initiative reform known as Proposal A. It reduced property taxes while boosting the sales tax and dedicating the new revenue to education. As the Citizens Research Council of Michigan says in a recent report, it also marked a major increase in how much money the state dedicated to a specific function, or as it's known, earmarking. The practice has continued since that time, and the CRC says the result is that much of the state tax revenue now is effectively removed from budgetary decision-making. Craig Thiel is Senior Research Associate for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What are some examples right now? I mentioned Proposal A, but are there some other examples you can cite in the state budget where there is money which is specifically earmarked to go to a certain expenditure by the state?
Well, Gordon, we have a number of instances. We have some in the state constitution, in fact. We allocate a portion of the sales tax to local governments. We have some of the sales tax in statute is going to local governments as well. We also have, as most people realize, when they purchase fuel and pay the fuel tax, the gasoline diesel tax is going to transportation purposes, and that's a earmark that's in the state constitution as well. And some of the income tax goes to education, and there's other smaller pieces of the state budget that are earmarked for specific functions. But those are the big ones when we talk about earmarking.
What's the argument for earmarking? Why would policymakers set things up in such a way that certain taxes which we collect go to certain line items?
Well, probably the most common explanation and justification would be on the benefit principle. And that's where we try to tie the funding of a state or local function to a specific tax and have the people who are using that function pay that tax. And so the example would be with transportation. Those people who use the roads and the infrastructure of the state pay the gas tax, and those resources are earmarked to maintain roads and bridges. So that would be probably the clearest example of a reason why we would earmark, is get people who are using a service to pay for it. Another explanation for doing it is maybe to provide a minimum level of funding for a given program or function. So we might want to ensure that health care programs or local government programs are funded at a certain level, so we'll earmark a percentage of a tax or a dollar amount of a certain tax. Of course, if the tax doesn't perform, then it's possible that that program doesn't get that level of funding. And then oftentimes we find there's a political justification for earmarking. In order to get a change in the tax approved in the political arena, you need to guarantee the receipts from that tax to a specific function. So there is that reason as well.
Let's go back a little bit into Michigan's history here. The most recent version of the Michigan Constitution was approved in 1963. And as you say in this report, one of the justifications for rewriting the Constitution at this time, just one of them and not the main one, was that earmarking had put the legislature kind of in a straitjacket in terms of what they could do with state finances. Was this an important argument in 1963?
It was an important argument. As you mentioned, it wasn't the driving force behind the call for a rewrite of the state constitution. But when we looked back in the early 60s, about 65% of the state tax yield was earmarked for specific functions. A good portion of that was for local government and education purposes. And lawmakers at the time, when they were deciding among the many competing priorities in the state budget, found that their hands were tied and they were unable to address the challenge of the day. And so I think there was some concern that going forward, as the state tries to deal with different funding challenges, that these earmarks were going to be more of an obstacle than a benefit. So one of the underlying motivations for that, the calling of the Constitution, was Constitutional Convention, was to kind of reduce the amount of earmark taxes and put more budget decisions in the hands of lawmakers.
Now, it was 65% then around the time that the new Constitution was drafted. What is it at right now? How much of the state budget is earmarked for a specific purpose?
Right. And so in drafting the Constitution, they took care of some of these earmarks. And about 10 years after the Constitution went into effect, it had dropped from 65% down to about 55%. And then it remained down around the 50% level for a number of years. And right before Proposal A in the mid-1990s, it was hovering around 40%. So 40% of the state budget was earmarked, and 60% was available for lawmakers to decide how to spend the resources of the state. With Proposal A, it bumped up significantly from 40% to almost 58% earmarked revenues. And what our research has shown is over the last 20 years, the amount of earmarking has grown steadily, and it stands today at about 63%, so about 5 percentage points different than where it was in 1995 after Proposal A.
So you've mentioned a couple different things that I think we should talk about. One is that transportation taxes are an area where we often see the funding earmarked. In other words, a gas tax earmarked for roads, vehicle registration fees for roads. But you have also said that this might be a way to make it politically more palatable. And is that what we've seen with transportation funding as lawmakers look for some sort of a solution, that they are listening to constituents who tell them, if you're going to raise taxes or fees on me, that may be okay, but I want to make sure that it all goes to fixing roads?
Yes, that is, you know, the political support argument for raising taxes, that people, if they're going to see their tax bill go up, they want to know where that revenue is going to go. And with transportation, people are guaranteed that the gasoline and vehicle registration taxes are going to go to transportation because we have that locked in the Constitution. In the Proposal 1 debate of earlier this year and the road funding solution proposed there, the sales tax was involved, and as we point out in this report, about 90% of the sales tax is earmarked to functions other than roads. The sales tax that's collected on gasoline purchases isn't going to roads. And during the Proposal 1 debate, people said, we want that revenue to go to roads, the sales tax revenue to go to roads. So obviously, part of the solution in Proposal 1 was to modify the Constitution to take the sales tax off of fuel purchases so that the revenue wouldn't be going to local governments and education.
One of the big criticisms of Proposal 1 that it was just too complicated. People really couldn't understand what it was that they were ultimately voting on. At the end of the day, does earmarking contribute to complicated formulas that people have to come up with in order to raise the money desired or needed for state programs?
Yes, I think that is definitely one of the motivations in changes in the tax code, is that guaranteeing that people are or interests are held harmless in any type of change. So in order to do that, we carve out special interests or portions of the tax is going to go to a specific function so that the funding for that function isn't impacted negatively. And we saw that with Proposal 1, and we've seen it with other tax changes as well. Last year, there were major changes made to the personal property tax. This is the tax that's paid by businesses on equipment and everything other than land. And those exemptions are going to impact local government budgets significantly. The trade-off in that tax change was to guarantee the replacement of those resources with state dollars. And to do that, the local governments wanted those funds to be earmarked. So we're going to see a rise in earmarking going forward because of that tax change.
I I want to read from this part of the report here. You say that programs with dedicated funding do not have to compete with other budget priorities for limited revenues. Is the point there then that we can't really set priorities accordingly because there's a certain amount of money which you can't touch and the priority has basically already been set?
Right, and that priority may have been set 20 years ago, and at the time it may have been a priority of the legislature or the public. Because of the earmarking, it's difficult to completely evaluate, you know, that priority today. You know, the money still has to be appropriated. That's required in our Constitution. But lawmakers just have less discretion in deciding how much money a program will get when that program's recipient of earmarked funding. And we've seen that with the transportation issue as well. So really, the amount of spending on transportation has been more or less automatic. Lawmakers have just allocated the earmarked funding for transportation and haven't really supplemented that funding with additional resources. So earmarking kind of has cut both ways on the transportation front. It's been the beneficiary of the earmarked gasoline and vehicle registration taxes, but at the same time, lawmakers have been hesitant to supplement transportation funding with other resources, general fund resources, because transportation has got its earmarked funding. So, and now the public has clearly said that roads are a problem, and there's pretty well established consensus that roads are a problem. And lawmakers are now turning their attention to additional funding for transportation. And one area that they're looking is they're looking at the general fund as a possible solution to supplement the transportation resources.
Craig Thiel, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Gordon.
Craig Thiel is Senior Research Associate for the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. The Citizens Research Council of Michigan's report called Earmarking State Tax Revenues, Tying Policymakers' Hands, or Protecting Policy Priorities can be found at crcmich.org. There's also a link to the report and a longer version of this interview at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.